We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Show. We're talking Sunday's five-game slate, but before we get that, we got Ryan Belongi here, celebrity, taking down another major contest at DraftKings, and I think it was a Wednesday slate that all of us had success in. I think it was maybe one of the easiest cash slates I've played, maybe just because that, you know, is favorable for us, but Vardy, Madison, and De Bruyne, I think, were obvious plays. Jordan, you had a Cancelo, Reece James situation. Do you think that was just a really easy cash slate, or are we just fortunate to get Leicester, Jamie Vardy, and Madison to come through for us?
I mean, I think it was easy. I think the core of the lineups was easy. It just came down to whether – it really came down to whether or not – you were comfortable with some 3K player, right? The Kayembe, like, do you want that build? Because I think Messina at 2,600, you know, underpriced, because Watford's lineup. It basically, the whole thing came down to how is Watford going to line up? And then choosing between Kalou or Sima as the punt forward. And then it's just a matter of, like, do you play James? Do you play Cancelo? Do you play Ederson versus Schmeichel versus Mendy? Like, it really came down to it. My original lineup, instead of Kayembe, had Saul in it because I expected Alonso to not play the rest of the season. I didn't expect Alonso to be in the lineup with what happened in the previous right. game. So once he was in, I'm like, okay, well, there goes Saul. I guess I'll play another Watford player in that spot. But the lineup that Ryan won the GP or split it in first, like I basically just handed you $1,750 because it would have been split $4,500 away each way because you had my cash lineup. Just I had Cancelo and you had James, and I look at macro, some maybe sometimes too much over micro, because with no Aspilicueta, obviously Reece James is not going to be playing as a center back. But with Mountain and Alonso in, I can't guarantee that Reece James is taking any free kicks, right? I have to, if I threw out that possibly he takes no corners, Cancelo doesn't take any free kicks or anything like ever, right? But Man City are a significantly bigger favorite than Chelsea, and Chelsea's on the road, and I'm like, if all things being equal, if I took away any type of set piece type of situation, who would you play more? And I'm like, they both have amazing floors. They both, I mean, it's like one is significantly better than the other. And 2 minutes before lock, I'm going James or Cancelo, James or Cancelo, James or Cancelo, James or Cancelo. And I didn't know what the ownership on anything was really going to be. James came in way more owned than Cancelo. But I thought from a macro standpoint, Cancelo, just from Man City, you're going to have 70% possession. And just from an open play value, I think Cancelo outscores Reece James slightly more, maybe. I mean, it really came down to that. And, of course, Cancelo, people were complaining about the assist, that it was on SofaScore, but if you watch the game, it really shouldn't have been an assist, even though I was begging for it. I was like, just give it. I know it was a deflection, right? I'm watching the game, and I'm like, I don't think they're giving him that. And when it came on SofaScore, I'm like, maybe they are. And then it didn't come in on, because Opta didn't give it to him. So that I made money on the slate, obviously, when my cash lineup is would have 1v1 away from the large field tournament win. But Ryan, do you think that my macro logic, like, is there a flaw there that I should have definitely played James over Cancelo?
No, I wouldn't say so, because at least just speaking for myself, normally, like, that's a slate where I might have Reece James on 100% of my lineups, but I thought similarly enough to where I had a decent amount of Cancelo too, and I didn't end up like just jamming James. I do think, you know, part of it is because I had watched a lot of Chelsea's games recently. And when James was on the wing, two games, he led Chelsea in touches, like by far. They were just playing most of their offense through him. He was looking like Alexander Arnold. So I figured with him on the wing, his floor and his like goal assist upside is probably slightly higher than Cancelo's, but I did love Cancelo too. I mean, like I said, I played him over James in plenty of lineups. So I think it was a very close decision.
All right. So I think that's it. We're just talking about winners and Cancelo and Reece James here, but Wednesday slate was fun. Hopefully Sunday slate is similarly fun. We have Manchester City. I guess, what are they? Kind of like the Chelsea at Leeds situation that we had midweek. Now we have Manchester City at West Ham, 2.19 implied goal total. And we have, I guess, Wolverhampton against Norwich. They're in the Leicester situation, I guess, if you want to say that. They're at 1.91. But at forwards, the one guy I want to talk about that, you know, we saw him have 13-point floor against Manchester City. We have Chiquinho here at 5,600. Jordan, how popular do you think Chiquinho is going to be in cash games, if he starts, I guess?
Well, I think that the issue, I don't want to call it an issue, this slate has pretty soft pricing on several teams. It's more of a team softness than an overall softness. Whoever at DraftKings makes the salaries, just didn't check to see that Wolves were at home playing Norwich. And with a goal total that's like almost as high as Man City's, with a clean sheet odds that are higher than Man City's, and in a win percentage that is almost as high as Man City's, the Wolves players are dramatically underpriced for their situation. And Man City's probably appropriately priced, but like here at this forward position, I mean, if Chiquinho starts, you could play him. I really, truthfully, Raul Jimenez at 6,300 is in that same position that Vardy was in on Wednesday, where Vardy probably should have been 9,000 on Wednesday. Well, Jimenez probably should be 8,500 to 9,000 on this slate when he has -120 goal scoring odds. He's the highest on the entire slate. And you could even make a case for Pedro Neto at 8,000 splitting set pieces. Probably he's not going to be, that there are other options there that you don't have to pay 8,000 for him. But I think on this slate, it's a 5-game slate and Man City are the biggest favorite. I don't feel compelled to, I mean, you could make lineups without any Man City play. I mean, you shouldn't feel compelled at least in GPPs on playing any Man City players. And I think in cash, you're pretty much just playing one. We all know the one that you're going to play. We'll get to that in midfield. But like paying up for Mahrez at 10-9 or Jesus if he starts at 9,500 or Sterling at 9,000. Sure, yes, they have ceilings. They could score multiple goals. You're right, they can. But from a cash game perspective, it's like they're not even on my radar. I mean, there are options not even on Wolves that I'd rather play over these Man City guys. But I don't. The question on the slate is Raul Jimenez is a goal-dependent center forward at 6,300. doesn't fit that cash type of normal distribution of range of outcomes type of thing. But I don't think it's nuts to play him in cash games over guys like Gross or Eze, or I wouldn't play Bowen against Man City. Like guys that play wide, have some set pieces, stuff like that. But I'd rather play Chiquinho. I mean, Chiquinho has a much higher floor, much more active in peripherals. But from an upside perspective, I mean, Jimenez could score 3 goals this slate, and I wouldn't bat an eye against Norwich.
Jimenez can score 3 goals? Have you seen him playing lately? I don't know.
They're playing Norwich. Come on.
All right, so these teams have played 2 times this season. Wolves have failed to score against Norwich, and they've totaled 14 shots. Does that sway you at
all? That's all in the past. Norwich are down. They're relegated. No one cares.
All right. Ryan, what do you think about Jimenez on the slate for tournaments?
Oh, I think Jimenez is fine for tournaments and cash.
Will he be too popular, though, in tournaments? Like, what's the point in using him? You think he's going to have the Jamie Vardy upside here?
No, yeah, I do. I mean, I do think he has hat trick upside. I mean, Norwich are bad, and the Wolves team that you're referring to didn't have Pedro Neto and Chiquinho in it. It wasn't going against a Norwich team that's already down. I don't think I would play a forward higher than or priced higher than Raul Jimenez in cash games. You know, to me, this slate looks awfully similar to Wednesday's. I mean, almost the same. You got De Bruyne and Madison, pretty easy. And then some cheap forward options. You could use either of those Watford guys again. I mean, you don't have to. They're priced up now, but Kalou and Ken Sema split sets. They're both under 5K. Chiquinho looks like a great play. He's definitely got a high floor just from open play with the way he plays. But yeah, I mean, I would just jam in those midfielders. I mean, Madison's $1,000 cheaper now, and there's plenty of cheap forward options. Seems pretty simple.
Do you think, I know we're skipping around, but do you think Madison maybe doesn't start?
Yeah, you're right. It's possible that Madison doesn't start.
I actually had both Madison and Vardy resting in this match, and then I didn't want to be on the wrong side of that. So I put them in this morning because just in case they could start. But I think it's 50-50 that both those guys are actually rested because Leicester have nothing to play for.
So if Madison doesn't start, then yeah, that's a good thing to bring up because then maybe you do spend up at forward.
But you don't have to spend all the way. And you don't have to. I've done constructions with Madison and done constructions without Madison. I almost don't want Madison to start. I'd rather Madison not start because then, I mean, then you could do almost anything you want. Then you don't have to, when we get to the defender position, you could just play the two defenders that you want to play and not even have, you literally don't even have to look at the rest of the pool and just say, I'm going to be like you, like, all five of my lineup, same two defenders, and just I'm good the whole way through. But with Madison in, you can't do that. With Madison, you're probably going to have to punt at kind of semi punt at one defender position.
Yep.
But what do you think of like the guys that have floors in this, like the Gross at 8,300, assuming he starts against Leeds, and Eze at 7,100 against Aston Villa. The thing is with Eze is that when Olise is in, he's not going to take a majority of set pieces. Crystal Palace is away to Villa, who plays a little bit more defensively now. I mean, he does have a floor, but is Eze is close enough price to Raul Jimenez, right? That would you rather spend up? Like the question comes in is like, how much faith do you put into a Kalou or a Sema at a forward spot when it's a 5-game slate and the opportunity cost is much higher?
Yeah. I mean, I don't put much faith into those Watford guys. It's tough deciding on these other guys though. Like Pascal Gross, you know, it's been so up and down for him. He lines up in different positions. He was great against United. It still seems like, I don't know, a bit risky for a guy that usually lacks upside. I don't know. And then the Crystal Palace guys, you know, I'm not like overly excited about them. You know, if I had to just pick one, I might rather go for 75 minutes of Pedro Neto. I don't know. Like, none of them are jumping out at me. I like Wolves' matchup. And I think Neto, he's finally looking, you know, he came back and he didn't look healthy and he didn't look right. He has been looking better. So I don't know. I think
this situation is solved for you if Madison starts.
Yeah, otherwise I don't have strong conviction. Right. I mean,
but you understand what I'm saying. If Madison starts and you're playing Madison and KDB together,
right,
you're probably not playing anyone. You're not even playing Eze at 7,100. Like, you're not going to be able to get up to these guys.
No.
Anyway. And, you know,
yeah, that's why it makes it a lot easier. And, you know, people may think this is crazy, but I think Rafinha is similar to Eze. I mean, I don't know that I would want to just play Eze over Rafinha. I know Leeds haven't been great, but now Harrison's out. I mean, they're at home. They have to win. So, I mean, it's a lot of similar options there.
Harrison is – I'd say he's 50-50. It looks like he's good. It was just a contusion, muscle injury. For Neto, if you're basing your lineups around him, I will say this would be his third start in 8 days when he didn't have more than one start in a row all season because he's been hurt. So I'd put some doubt into that. Just for a wild chance that KDB doesn't start, does that change your thoughts? Do you either of you go Mahrez here at 10.9K?
I mean, I would, yeah, but KDB is starting. I mean, right?
Liverpool are
yeah,
going after the league title. I mean, I'm assuming that for the last two games that they'll play their best 11 as long as possible.
Yeah, there's like literally no chance De Bruyne doesn't start.
All right, Jamie Vardy, 8,800. The winner of the last slate. I don't think we've mentioned him, but now he's 8,800 against Watford, though. So still a pretty favorable position. And I'd say with we haven't talked about the Villa forwards. We do have a chance for Crystal Palace to be switching up their back line because Mark Guehi, who has started every match this season for Crystal Palace, he may be out. He got a knock to his ankle. So we could see James Tompkins back there. And in the past, I've always gone against Crystal Palace when James Tompkins starts. So if that's the case, maybe these Villa guys could be looked at in tournaments. Of note, Ollie Watkins hasn't been training, so he could be out. And we could see Danny Ings as maybe the lone forward up there for Villa. Does anyone else stand out here? I mean, I guess the Watford guys for cash games, if you really want to go down there again with Sema and Kalou, but anything else stand out for cash games here, Jordan?
No, I think we're good on that.
We have thoughts of Gelhardt here at 4,100 for tournaments, Ryan?
Took the words out of my mouth, Adam. One guy stands out for tournaments. Definitely Joe Gelhardt. I'd expect that. You know, the ownership, you know, it's not going to be a lot, but the ownership combined on Kalou, Sema, Chiquinho, other cheap guys will keep it off a little bit from what it normally would be, $4,100 forward starting at home. I know Leeds hasn't been great, but for tournaments, yeah, I'll definitely take a shot there.
Yeah, we have no idea what this Leeds starting 11 is going to look like because we have the Harrison question, but then we also have their defensive questions, if they're going to do five guys in the back kind of a thing. So we'll see with that. And then James is out because Gelhardt would be, if they have one of those forwards, if he'd start over Rodrigo kind of a thing. So midfield, plug and play Kevin De Bruyne in here, and he'll probably be more popular than James Maddison, correct?
I think so. I mean, people didn't play, you know, I was going to ask you guys about cash because people didn't really play Madison in tournaments last week. I think he was like 20% owned.
He wasn't that popular in cash games. I actually don't know why. Jordan, explain this to us.
I mean, he was popular enough. I think he, in my cash games, he was like 30% owned.
Right.
But I think a lot of it had to do with whether or not you played one of the Watford the cheap Watford forwards. I saw a lot of people play like Vardy and Lukaku, which just sounds like, why are you doing that to yourself in double ups? It just seems like the like relying on that. Or they didn't want to play, if you didn't play Messina at defender and you played like James, and if you played Alonso in your lineup instead of James, or you played Alonso and James, if you paid down for Meslier instead, like there were other, you didn't want to play Kayembe or any 3K midfielder. Like there were options where like you would love to play Madison, but you didn't want to sacrifice what it seemed like two or possibly three positions on Watford players.
Yeah.
You were just opposed to that. And like, I don't want to play more than one Watford player. You had to choose between De Bruyne and Madison, and De Bruyne's going to win out on that pretty much every time. So to me, that's the only, it was a construction thing.
I scrolled a bit here. Foden was about 26%, about in the same range as Madison. And then Alonso, who was 7,700 on that slate, he was actually 33%. So when you're plugging in those more expensive guys, that's why, you know, Madison can't really fit in the lineups with De Bruyne, with Vardy, or with whoever. So
that's why I'm hoping Madison doesn't start this game. We get to just play chalk Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think it would be that popular, Dewsbury Hall here?
Of course. Why wouldn't he be? 6,200 with Leicester as a favorite. I think if Madison doesn't start, I already know who are my two midfield spots and my utilities. Like to me, if Madison doesn't start, this slate becomes like essentially a goalie versus single forward kind of 2v2 slate in cash. If Madison doesn't start, like to me, we'll get into all these other guys.
But just real quickly, if Madison doesn't start, and you get Dewsbury Hall in the center, what if all Brighton is in the front three?
Okay, well that changes that. I'm talking about, you don't get all Brighton.
Right.
You get Dewsbury Hall, you get Tielemans, you get Barnes, you get Iheanacho and Yosi Perez or something, you know, some type of lineup like that. Or maybe they play Daka and Iheanacho together. They do something like that without Madison. Like to me, it's like my midfield slots are gonna be KDB, Dewsbury Hall, and my favorite guy, Joe Moutinho at 4,500. I know people make fun of me of guys like Moutinho, but Wolves are look at their total. They're playing Norwich at home. Moutinho takes at 50% of the sets. How do you not play him at 4,500 at this point? I mean,
I guess we're just jumping into defender here, but do you want Moutinho over Aitnery, or do you want both of them?
I can see playing both of them, but I think there's more value in Moutinho as a midfielder on this slate.
Like, how many Wolves players do we want? We mentioned all of them. We mentioned Jimenez. We mentioned Chiquinho. You want three Wolves players? Is four too much?
Three Wolves players, yes. They're underpriced, right? I mean, truthfully, Jimenez should be like 8,500. Moutinho should be like 6,500. Aitnery should be 6,000. I mean, he's 5,300. It's not that underpriced. Chiquinho should be like 7,000. Who else do we have? All these guys are too cheap.
Yeah, Moutinho should not be 65, though. I mean, that
shouldn't be 45.
Well.
Well, yeah, you see here in this situation, Moutinho is he's Gundogan with set pieces. So there you go.
So go ahead, Gundogan 6,600, right? He's like, he's something, he's around there typically. Gundogan 5,900. Okay.
You know, just to be like, I got to be completely, Moutinho's fine. But like, to be completely honest, even in a midfield spot, I'd rather play Kalou instead of Moutinho. I don't know.
But you're thinking more for cash games. You have to. Yeah, get the time. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'm interested to see what happens. Like Moutinho, I don't know. Even in great matchups, it doesn't like increase. It only increases his set pieces. Maybe. I mean, it really doesn't increase much else.
4,500. I'll take the set piece taker on a team that has that. There's a 65% chance to win at home and almost a 2 implied goal total. Why not?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Macro-wise, that makes sense to me. I mean, you can make a case to say, like, if it's Neto and Matinho on set pieces, it's like Neto's 8,000 and made only play 70 minutes. Like, Matinho plays 90, right? Matinho's out there. Yes, his open play value is suspect, but, like, what's wrong with playing Chiquinho, Matinho, eight in a row? I mean, you could play him in it. You could play all these. I mean, like, they're...
Yeah.
Why would you say Wolves on this slate?
For the people that want to do four Wolves players that Norwich have been playing, that Norwich-Leicester City game was really back and forth. Like, we saw Schmeichel get a bunch of saves in that game. It looks like Norwich, you know, while they're not scoring, they are playing a little more open. So that is another boost for Wolves. On the other side of that, I think we're kind of ignoring that. So Wolverhampton have scored 19 goals at home this season. That's barely, you know,
because they haven't played Norwich yet. That's why.
Well, they already were scoreless at Norwich.
Well, now they get to play them at home. They get to make that up by winning.
I'm just saying this isn't Wolverhampton are not Leicester. They are not the same team is what I'm saying. So, like, while maybe it makes sense to play 4-3 Wolverhampton guys, and maybe the odds say that, but
that's what else are we going by? If they weren't expected of that, they wouldn't have an implied goal total of 1.91.
I think the odds are too high in their favor. I think they should be like 1.5. Like, we saw the situation with Aston Villa against Norwich a couple weeks ago, and we were like, okay, Aston Villa is Manchester City. Let's plug all these guys in. And, you know, they got a couple goals, but their guys just didn't really, you know, they didn't really perform to the highest level what we expected. And, I mean, now it's Wolverhampton, who are one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. Like, are we expecting Wolverhampton to score 4 goals? I think that's kind of extreme.
For GPPs, I would say they may be over-owned for that reason.
Right.
5 game slate. But for
I'm giving both ends here. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but for cash games, I don't care about the ceiling. I care about just locking some points.
Yeah.
Play the team that's underpriced. Let's go. I mean,
I see what you're saying. It's a good point. You know, I like the idea, but I would say part of the reason yet Wolves only have 19 goals at home.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons is because they haven't had their matchup with Norwich at home yet. So, you know, that's going
right,
to add.
They would have 6 goals in this.
All right.
Right.
I want to say here, these teams played in February at Wolverhampton, and Wolverhampton lost 1-0. They had 9 shots, 6 corners taken, 65% possession.
Okay, at the start of the season, I don't remember, you know, we might have been 10 games through the season already, maybe more. I remember talking about a few times on this pod that Wolves' XG was way higher than the amount of goals that they had this season. And, you know, goals throughout a season can be sort of random. Like, you know, I'm not saying that – you know, counts for everything, but Wolves are underpriced here. It's a good spot.
Wolves had 0.26 XG in the first league meeting between these guys.
Okay, fair enough.
One-game sample. What are we doing here? Come on.
Crystal Palace.
Hey. I'm wearing my Wolves shirt, but I don't want to blindly agree with you guys just because we're looking at the odds. Like, we got to give some new information here.
Okay. I mean, I see what you're saying. You know, Crystal Palace beat Man City twice this year.
There you go. All right, so midfielder, we get back here. What else we have? I mean, we got De Bruyne and Madison. If Madison doesn't start, we're going to Dewsbury Hall. I guess Ryan here, is anyone else standing out for tournaments? Like, we got McAllister here at 6,100. Seems like a pretty tasty
I think
play.
You're missing on, I think the two, if Madison starts, okay, this is what I'll say. If Madison starts, I think the two best GPP midfield plays on the slate are Olise and Grealish in that $7,400-$7,100 range. Because if people aren't going to play Madison or De Bruyne, or not play both of them together, play only one, most likely they're going to spend that money on the forward slot by going up and playing, you know, a Man City forward or, you know, so, you know, Zavardi, something like that. The midfielders, I just think if Grealish starts in the front three, at 7,100 midfield only, he's going to be one of the lower owned Man City guys. And I think no one's going to play Olise at 7,400 with I mean, he'll have set pieces against Villa playing defensively, and just for his expectation, I could see him on a 5-game slate and GPP being like 6% owned, 8% owned. And you tell me he scores a goal, gets an assist, and has, you know, 9 crosses, 3 fouls drawn. He's sitting there with 26 points or something. Like, I'm not shocked or anything. I just think this is the range. This is the GPP range at midfielder is not the low end or the high end. It's this like uncomfortable mid range. Right. So I'm not looking like Dewsbury Hall, McAllister, Gundogan. Like, you could fit these guys in, McGinn. Like, these are guys will have some ownership to them. But I just don't think these 7K guys, Harvey Barnes at 7,600, is like, I don't think anyone's playing him.
For anyone considering Olise in cash games, for some reason at 7,400, I will say Aston Villa haven't allowed more than 4 corners in their last 3 matches, and they gave up 3 corners to Liverpool last match. I mean, it doesn't mean everything, but Villa are limiting chances. And like, if you're banking on corners from Olise in cash games because Madison's not starting, I would worry about that.
Well, I think Palace is overpriced on this slate to begin with. Like, across the board, all their players are overpriced. But that also means they're going to be lower owned. So, like what's the trade-off there? Like, from a value perspective, I wouldn't play any of these. Like, Eze is only a play because he's forward eligible, and we have other forwards that we can play, so you don't even have to really even consider him. So, to me, I'm looking like you're basically paying a premium to be contrarian, but at least you're playing a guy that has upside, right? So, you're playing like Zaha. Who's playing Zaha on this? We didn't even mention him, right? Who's playing $8,900 Zaha on the road to Villa as an underdog? Like, no one. Like, he'll be single-digit owned, but he's Wilfred Zaha, and if he scores 2 goals, he has penalties. Like, he could sit there with 30 points. I mean, like if I'm going to be playing in GPP, I want to play high-ceiling guys at low ownership. So it's I don't want to play a guy that's like someone like Zaha, for instance, playing 90 minutes is much better than, like, how do I get different by playing, you know, Ilkay Gundogan instead, or if I play Yuri Tielemans instead of Dewsbury Hall. It's like you're talking about guys that have anytime goal scoring odds of much lower than anything. So it's like, yes, you'll be different, and you're hoping that the Dewsbury Hall fails and only scores 8 points and you score 12 instead of just saying, why don't I just overspend for a guy that actually has 30 points in his range of outcomes rather than a guy that realistically doesn't hit 30 points almost ever.
Yep. No, yeah, makes a lot of sense. Only thing I really have to add is just going on that, you know, Crystal Palace overpriced. Villa on the other side are a bit underpriced. Adam mentioned the forwards who are good tournament plays, but if Ollie Watkins is out, I don't think anyone would play Emi Buendia. A little bit cheaper, 6,400, you know, similar. Had a goal and assist the last time he started. But yeah, I agree with Jordan. All good points.
As I'm looking at these Watford guys, I do want to say that this, while Leicester are, you know, a better team than Everton, this matchup, I can't remember what the implied goal total was between Watford and Everton, but Everton were playing not to lose. So that kind of, you know, that limited some opportunities for Watford in the attack. Meanwhile, Leicester, whatever they allowed, 5 shots on goal, 6 shots on goal to Norwich last match. So I think that, like, these Watford guys, even though they're not as cheap as they were last slate, I think this is a better matchup just in terms of maybe some more set pieces, maybe a better floor. Ken Sema took them the one corner they had last match, but they had a few set pieces from the pitch. Kalou had some set pieces. Sema had 4, Kalou had 3. So, I mean, while these guys are more expensive and maybe you look at it like, okay, Leicester are a better team than Everton, I wouldn't ignore them. So,
great points. I agree. This spot, you wouldn't think so, but it should be a little bit better for Watford. It's been surprising how, I don't want to say bad, but like, Leicester have been a surprisingly good team to target recently. They haven't been playing great D. They're allowing a lot of chances. So yeah, I do think Watford is in a little bit better spot than they were against Everton.
Yeah, I mean, I was just scrolling down the midfield list. Like, you got Kayembe, you got Kalou, and a midfield
Yeah, you just saw it. You just saw Norwich had a ton of chances against Leicester. So, yeah, I definitely expect Watford to.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. So, defender, we have... I guess we can go now call him Jordan's guy. We got Cancelo at 6,500. Is he a cash look here, Jordan? You don't have to look at Reece James. You don't have to compare the two. But 6,500 when you got De Bruyne and possibly Madison here, are you spending the money up on Cancelo here at 6,500?
As based on projected starting 11s and how the slate plays out. Like, I'm hoping Madison doesn't start and I just could plug in, give me Cancelo, give me Lucas Digne, and just don't even have to worry about it. You can make a case that you play Aitnery instead of one of them, right? But I think if I had a choice on this slate, I would be playing two of those three and just, I don't even have to bother looking at the rest of the defender list.
Yeah. I'm just checking. I don't think, Aitnery hasn't taken sets the last two matches with Neto back. So I think that would be contingent on whether Neto's in the lineup or not. I agree with Jordan. If Madison's not in there, I'd want Cancelo and Digne. If Madison is in there, I wouldn't play Cancelo. I think you probably just go with Digne.
So if you do that, we're kind of... you're kind of hampered here. So that means you are going cheap at forward, and then you're probably going cheap at goalkeeper.
No, you go cheap at defender. I think that if Madison is in and you're only able to pay up for one defender, I truthfully think that you could pay down for the cheapest defender on the entire slate and it doesn't matter. I think like the difference, I'm looking at this going, the difference between, like, if I had to choose, probably one of the Leicester, but I mean, 4,700 for Justin, 4,600 for Castagna, like Luke Thomas. Or, I mean, it's just like these guys, like, they're not worth the extra, like, $2,000 from, like, just pick just basically. I'm going to look for the I'm looking to, I'd rather play a Wolves center back. Right? How much are the center backs? Like Samir at 3,100 or something. I mean, like Sace is 2,900. Like, dude, like they have like 3-point floors, but like the guys that are $1,800 more expensive have 5-point floors. Like, how much am I, what am I paying for? So right. It feels like I'd rather get everything that I want. I'd rather get Madison, De Bruyne, right? Get in Digne. Right. Get in a good goalkeeper that's not going to give up 7 million, you know, shots. And I'm good. And get Matinho into my lineup for a cheap punt at midfield. And then if I'm going to punt anywhere, like punt, because I don't consider the Watford forwards to be punts. They're value plays. A punt is where you're going, God help me, please get me 3 points.
Like Kayembe.
Kayembe, right. Kayembe is a punt play, right?
Right.
Messina wasn't a punt play because he was underpriced at 2,600 on
right.
this last slate. So to me, if you're going to just purely punt on this slate specifically for cash games, and this is specifically for cash games, I think you're doing it in the defender spot. Now, for GPPs, I can understand wanting to try to lock in 20-plus points at defender because there may not be many people that score that many points at defender. That the whole, you know, what Ryan always says with GPPs, get the points there where people, it's hard for people to get points. But I think in cash games, I think outside of those three, and why Zinchenko at 5,000, Matt Cash at 4,900, the prices on all these, like even if you look at the projected 11s, like, do you want to play Nathaniel Klein? Like, what's right, the difference between him and like a center back for Wolves or Man's? Like, what are the Man City? Like, if Ake and Laporte, they're probably a little too expensive. And Ake is 4,400, so you don't play him. Laporte's 4,100, but the Watford, the Wolves guys. Connor Cody, what's his? He's always cheap, right? Connor Cody's 3,400. But like Roman Sais, Sais or whatever. I mean, like, really, what's the difference between them and like and Nathaniel Klein?
Yeah.
Or Max Ahrens or.
Well, Sais isn't going to play, like, so that's the difference.
They're garbage guys.
Who's not going to play, Adam?
Sais isn't going to play, but if you want the $2,500 defender, we could be looking at, as I said earlier, James Tompkins could start for Crystal Palace.
Okay. Well,
you also got Cabasele for Watford at 26.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, I'm just like legitimately, even if you didn't choose and just said, wait for all the lineups to come in and then look for the green check mark and just scroll all the way down and just like whatever that green check mark, the lowest position, just lock them in, build the rest of your lineup, and then whatever. If you have 300 left in that spot, then okay, then maybe you want to go to a more favored team. I mean, that I'm talking about not a player. I'm just talking about a general construction. But that's only if Madison is in and you're playing both him and KDB. This all gets solved if Madison doesn't start. If Madison doesn't start, then I don't have to worry. I'm not playing. I'll just play the two best defenders and don't have to worry about it.
Right. So I've been looking at that lineup, you know, if we have Madison and De Bruyne, and yeah, I agree. Definitely spend down at defender. Zinchenko, these Leicester guys, no, definitely not worth it. What I was trying to figure out was if it was worth it to play, you know, Junior Firpo for 3,500 or Max Ahrens for 37 or even in Ngakia for 38. Is it worth it to go to that range instead of one of these center backs, you know, to get the couple extra points? And, you know, probably not. It's probably not that important. I mean, I'd like to play Firpo over a center back, but it's not that big of a deal. If I had to, even for tournaments, go all the way down and play a center back for under 3K. I don't mind.
How many of your lineups are going to have De Bruyne and Madison? You think the majority?
Well,
or are they be too popular that you're going to be looking elsewhere?
No, I don't think. I mean, I don't worry about that too much. And no, I don't think they will be on a 5-game slate just because it's tough to afford. The one thing, you know, it's tough because it was the construction that just won on Wednesday. And the slate right. looks like so similar. And people know that construction just won. So I can see people, yeah, just putting KDB and Madison in. As far as like a tournament strategy, I don't know. It doesn't always work out that it's just that easy. So how many of my lineups will have both? I mean, I would probably play both of them in my higher stakes lineup. But I wouldn't, yeah, I would make some different lineups. I don't know how many would have both. I mean, you know, to be honest, there is a lot of cheap guys I want to play. So it does lead to De Bruyne and Madison just being in there. And then I can just go crazy switching up goalie and forwards and whatever else. So yeah, it's still pretty appealing to play them both.
I do want to say Messina probably won't start again because Kamara is back from suspension. And if that's the case, I think it's, I guess it's more likely that Sema and Kalou are the guys taking corners. So I just want to point that out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think didn't Messina really take them last game either.
No, I mean, they had one corner, I believe.
I think they had eight set pieces though.
Right. I think one corner cross, it may be the number. I mean, I didn't see the majority of Watford Everton, so I'm not sure what their short corners, if they took any of those.
Yeah, kind
of
thing. I saw two free kicks that were shots, and Kalou took both of them, but I didn't see anything besides that.
Yeah, Kalou had three set pieces, Sema had four, and then Messina took one from, I mean, it could have been a short corner kind of thing, so.
Okay.
Goalkeeper. So we already mentioned that Jose Sa has, you know, better odds for a clean sheet than Ederson. So Ederson probably won't be popular. 5,800.
He'll still be popular. He's still the most favored goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, still not going to be that popular, though. But Jose Sa, 5,700. I think my pick here, I actually like Schmeichel more than those other expensive guys, just because we got this Watford attack. I mean, I mentioned earlier about Watford maybe having more chances, but that doesn't mean they're actually going to score. Norwich had chances against Leicester. They didn't score, but he's 5,200 if you have the money. Otherwise, who is the spend down goalkeeper on the slate?
I mean, I have a feeling you're going to probably say Angus Gunn, right? Because you hate Wolves. I mean,
do you see what I'm wearing right now?
Yeah, no, I do, but I mean, he's 3,800. I don't know. I mean, they're all similar to me.
I mean, technically, Gunn does make the most sense here if you don't use Jimenez. If you don't want that Jimenez hat trick or four goals or five goals, I guess.
Yeah. I don't have much thoughts about goalkeeper at the moment. You, Jordan?
No, there's no clear spend down. I think it's clear that Jose Sa or Ederson up top. I'd prefer Sa. You save the 100 and he has better clean sheet odds. Yes, okay, I get that. But if you want to play Ederson, that's fine also. It's Man City. But outside of that, it's like, to me, the choice would be based on who I'm having in my lineup. I mean, like Ben Foster. I think the more popular, like the keepers that I'd be using more likely are going to be like Martinez, the Villa versus Crystal Palace and the Leeds versus Brighton. I think I'm more likely to use Meslier.
Yep.
Because I may not play any Brighton players. I still may play Leeds players. So if I'm playing Leeds attackers, then I'm more likely to play Meslier. And if I'm not playing any Crystal Palace attackers, I'm more likely to play Martinez. And if I'm not playing any Villa attackers, then I'm going to play Guaita or Butland or whoever starts there. Most likely I'm playing a Leicester player, either Madison or Dewsbury Hall or someone. So maybe I don't play Ben Foster. But to me, there's no clear, like, outside of Son Ederson, like, whatever money you got left, and even if that's Fabianski, like, dude, if you're just playing KDB in your lineup, like, dude, KDB has like a 25-point floor. He actually has higher floors in games where Man City do not score many, because then they all of a sudden he has the ball and he's crossing 16 times. So, like, it's not even on a five-game slate. Like, the goalkeeper ownership is going to be spread out enough that, yes, there'll be an outlier goalkeeper, but it's not like you don't have to pay it like – there may be multiple goalkeepers that score 12 or 14 points. So it's not like a priority to play Sa or Ederson. And then once you deal, like Fabianski scoring 8 points while giving up three goals may still be fine.
Yeah. Like normally I don't want to play the most expensive keeper when they're on the road to West Ham. Like it's not the greatest matchup and five game slate. Like I usually like Ederson, but I can see myself not not really going to Ederson here. I agree with that range you said from Emmy Martinez down to Gaeta. All four of those guys make a lot of sense. I can see myself making the exact same lineup that isn't likely to have Brighton or Leeds. And those guys are the same price. So just making it with Sanchez and Meslier, you know, there's a good chance one of them puts up a score that you know. Yeah, just whatever correlates with my lineup, but I think I'll be in that mid-range.
I think I'll have at least one lineup that has Fabianski down there to see what happens. So West Ham still actually have something to play for. They have a slight chance to finish top six here if Manchester United fall in their last one. So Manchester City have not scored more than two goals in the last five meetings against West Ham. These teams, it was 2-1 earlier in the season at Man City, and then it was scoreless in a cup match back in October. And earlier in the season, Fabianski, six saves, two goals allowed. That's enough. So, I mean, if he's not allowing more than two goals, I think that's pretty – I think you're going to get in a good spot. I got a bad taste in my mouth because I used Meslier a little too much midweek, which kind of screwed me a little bit, but – I'm always about the cheap goalkeeper. It's hit or miss though.
Yeah.
Before we go, I was just looking through rosters and seeing who we didn't mention. What do you guys think? So, I know Leeds are at home, must win, all that, but Danny Welbeck, 6,600. We didn't talk too much about Brighton. I mean, what if Leeds fall apart again? They're already using a lineup they maybe haven't used yet this season. So. I mean, a couple Brighton guys who aren't overly expensive are definitely in range here.
Yeah, I think, you know, so Leeds' last two matches, they've had early red cards in both of them. So, you know, that skews it a little. However, you know, the team is, yeah, it doesn't look good. They got a lot of injuries, especially at defense. Danny Welbeck. Definitely like because of the price over those other two guys. I think, you know, he's a similar option to those Villa forwards you mentioned for a similar price. Just like a random tournament play. This Moises Caicedo has looked pretty good. Scored a goal last week. He seems to have like a floor otherwise. I mean, 12-point floor before that. I know it's a small sample, but I don't know, you know, 4,600. He'd be fine. No one's going to roster him. But it's not really like a spot I'm looking to target. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Leeds could take the Everton approach of not to lose. So it could be, you know, a defensive match. We've already seen Brighton have plenty defensive matches. So instead of – so we got your play of Moises Caicedo here. Jordan, Jordan, I'm not going to ask you for a play.
No, but... I got a play. I got a play for you.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to make your play for you.
Is this going to be a center back?
Of course. If you're going to need the cheapest center back, Lewis Dunk, 2,900. Set piece goal. There you go. Especially when they have, when they're playing, if they're playing with Veltman and Cucurella in the back, like Dunk is like the, like who's going to be up there for, like Cucurella ain't tall. Veltman ain't tall. Like basically Dunk is the, like look at all the, look at their lineup, the projected lineup. Like, none of these guys are tall guys. Like Dunk is the tallest guy in the entire team. And Leeds are going to probably give up a goal. Why can't it be on a set piece? And it's Lewis Dunk dunking it in.
All right. I'll take it. 2,900. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that call. I mean,
do you need Pascal Gross on that side?
No. He's too expensive. Right? He's 8,300. So if if this starting with, if they're going to play with Trossard, Gross, March, and McAllister, it almost makes me not want to play any of the four, because it's like they all cannibalize each other on open play everywhere. So
unless
like,
they play Manchester United, they just beat Manchester United 4-0. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh,
one game sample size. Who cares?
Were you going to say anything before we go, Ryan?
No, not anything that mattered. Just that Lewis Dunk center back thing reminded me. One of my friends was asking me if Rudiger had a good chance to score against Leeds on Wednesday. And we saw that Leeds was playing four center backs that are all at least 6'2 or over. And it looks like that'll be the case again. Yeah. You know, not that that's, you know, Obviously, I'm not evaluating guys' chances to score from a corner kick, but Leeds should be able to defend him with that size.
Do we have any reverse logic here about the tabloids, about, you know, not maybe not Jamie Vardy here, but, you know, you bashed Jamie Vardy and his wife last show. You ended up using him, winning you some money. Do we have any reverse jinx here from the tabloids? What do we got?
Man, I wish I did. I wish I did. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I don't know. Vardy ended up being my highest owned forward last week. I just couldn't get off that chalk. It was weird pricing. I thought maybe if I disparage him and his wife a little bit, it would bring down his ownership just a little. So my apologies for that.
Hey, I said I was going to the dark side, and I did go to the dark side, and it worked for the most part. So there you go. But that's it. We got Sunday's 5-game slate. I believe next Thursday there's going to be a 3-game slate. Me and Ryan may be back with a show at some point next week for that. I'll be in and out with some showdown content and whatnot, but we're a week away from, you know, the biggest weekend of this Premier League season. You guys have your King of the Pitch tickets. We got the 10-game slate. It's going to be a fun discussion. I haven't even looked at the future schedule yet, so we'll see what happens with that. But guys, thanks for joining me. Jordan is at Blender HD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. Again, we didn't mention it, but you got this cheat sheet. You can get all this stuff. rotowire.com/soccer trial. Free 10-day trial. No credit card required. And there we go. Good luck to everyone. Sunday. Remember, this is Sunday. This is not Saturday. And this is also an hour earlier from the Saturday slates. So in case, you know, you always wake up at the same time Saturday, Sunday, make sure you get up earlier on Sunday to check on these lineups. But guys, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.